This is TWiT.
Yesterday, we passed along a New York Times report that a Russian crime ring had stolen the largest known amount of personal information to date. 1.2 billion accounts, 500 million unique email addresses, 420,000 websites. This was revealed by security firm Hold Security. Both Forbes and the Wall Street Journal have pointed out something. It might seem odd. Hold Security is charging a not insignificant $120 per year subscription to anybody who wants to check if their name and password are on that list. The Verge also notes that the very number of 1.2 billion usernames is interesting. Facebook or Google Search or Microsoft Office all are single services that have that kind of user base, but this data is coming from hundreds of thousands of compromises over the course of months, not from single services. Add to the fact that apparently the hackers are using this data for Twitter spam only, and the Hold Security collection fee might be read as a bit high, at least by some people. Microsoft continues to lose money on its Surface tablets, and in its most recent fiscal quarter added hundreds of millions of dollars to total losses of $1.7 billion since the device launched in 2012. Computer World has calculated that the Surface's cost of revenue for the most recent quarter was $772 million, and with revenue of $409 million, that put the tablet underwater around $363 million. That is just for the quarter. That's the largest one-quarter loss for the Surface since Microsoft began providing quarterly revenue numbers. Microsoft was expected to launch a smaller screen Surface Mini alongside the Surface Pro 3 back in May, but scrapped the idea, which was believed to be because the company didn't think the tablet would sell well. A flagged Microsoft OneDrive cloud storage account has led to the arrest of a man in Pennsylvania who had been charged with receiving and sharing child abuse images. According to court documents, the man was then detected trying to send two illegal pictures via one of Microsoft's live.com email accounts. A copy of the affidavit detailing the case against the defendant claims that the man acknowledged that he acquired the pictures through Keek Messenger, that's a chat app, as well as trading and receiving images of child pornography on his mobile cellular device. Despite concerns over privacy based on the fact that this user was clearly being monitored in some way, Microsoft's terms and conditions for U.S. users explicitly state that it has the right to deploy, quote, automatic technologies to detect child pornography or abusive behavior that might harm the system, our customers, or others. The Chinese government's crackdown of foreign company products continues. The latest victims, Apple's iPad, iPad Mini, MacBook Air, and MacBook Pro. None of them can be bought with public money for government purchases because of security concerns. This is reported by Bloomberg, citing government officials familiar with the matter. China's procurement agency previously told departments to stop buying antivirus software from Symantec and Kaspersky Lab, and Microsoft was shut out of a government purchase of energy-efficient computers. The scrutiny of foreign companies reportedly stems from Edward Snowden's revelations last year of NSA spying programs and the May announcement of indictments by U.S. prosecutors of five Chinese military officers for allegedly stealing corporate secrets. Well, here's some good news, unless you really like patent lawsuits. Apple and Samsung have agreed to end their global patent battle, or at least start winding it down anyway, and have explained in a joint statement that they will drop all suits against each other in countries outside the U.S. Claims are being abandoned in Australia, Japan, South Korea, Germany, the Netherlands, the U.K., France, and Italy. In the drawn-out patent battle, Apple accused Samsung of copying its iPhone designs, and Samsung countered that Apple was using pieces of its wireless transmission technology without permission. Judges had repeatedly urged the companies to settle rather than continue to dispute in court. And I guess the companies finally agreed. Amazon has announced that its same-day delivery service, which is already serving San Francisco, Los Angeles, Phoenix, and Seattle metro areas, is expanding to new cities, including Baltimore, Dallas, Indianapolis, New York City, Philadelphia, and Washington, D.C. Amazon Prime customers in these markets and others that already have the access to the Get It Today option can order select items like movies or video games or travel items or school supplies by noon and then receive them the same day for a $5.99 additional fee. Amazon's same-day delivery service runs 7 days a week, but doesn't include groceries, although Amazon is experimenting with grocery delivery through Amazon Fresh in Seattle and in parts of California.